Episode 3. This is the third part in our 12th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. If you've missed an episode, don't worry. Here is a review. 2 weeks ago, in episode 1, we reflected on bringing our children to Jesus. And we talked about how inspiring it is when you bring your children to Jesus, to Mass every Sunday. And how inspiring it is when you bring them to Jesus in the sacraments. We talked about how indignant Jesus is when we prevent our children from coming to Him every Sunday at Mass, or how indignant He is when we prevent our children from coming to Him in the sacraments, or how indignant He is when we prevent our children from coming to Jesus by our selfless acts of abortion and contraception. In episode 1, we also talked about the essential childlike attitude. It is essential to have a childlike attitude to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we talked about some of those characteristics, like being excited about the church's moral teaching, just as excited and delighted as a little child receiving gifts from their parents. An attitude that is resilient, willing to get back up and try again after falling down into sin, like the resilience of a child who gets back up after falling down. And most importantly, an attitude that is trusting and believing in what Jesus tells them, trusting like a little child who is obedient and believes everything their parents tell them. Last week in episode 2, we talked about the great cross that married men and women carry when they cannot conceive a child. We talked about how Jesus and the church are united with these infertile men and women during this very difficult time of suffering. And we know that God makes all things work to the good for those who love Him. And we know that this great cross of infertility can bear spiritual fruit for the world when united to the Lord's cross. Last week we praised and thanked all of those beautiful married men and women who choose to adopt a child. For adoption is a great act of generosity. So we thank you again for that generous spirit of adoption. Last week we also praised and thanked Dr. Thomas Hilgers and the Pope Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska, who cooperate with God in discovering new technologies and procedures to help married men and women conceive a child in the natural way. These two beautiful gifts of adoption and these new technologies that help women to conceive a child in the natural way are very inspiring for us and are certainly moral and acceptable means for couples who find themselves carrying the cross of infertility. On the other hand, last week we also saw how Jesus warns us about the evil of donation of sperm or ovum, the evil of the surrogate uterus, and the evil of artificial insemination. So-called sperm and egg banks, surrogate motherhood, test tube babies, artificial insemination are all gravely immoral. Why? Because life and love go together. Children are not objects. They're not things to be manipulated in a laboratory. Children are not rights, but gifts from Almighty God. This week in episode 3, we are going to talk about a very timely and controversial subject here in the United States of America, and that is health care. Most of you know that right now legislation is being introduced in Congress in Washington, D.C., that would reform healthcare. As we begin our discussion of healthcare, we initially see that healthcare is a good thing. Taking care of a person's physical and spiritual health is a beautiful act of service and love toward others. It's beautiful, right? Jesus himself was a physician who came to heal and bring health to the sick, both in their bodies and in their souls. So we initially see that caring for a person's health is a great act of love. We also can say at the beginning that health care is a right of everyone, not just of the rich and those who can afford to be healthy, but it is a right for everyone. This is what Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, the Vatican observer to the United Nations, said just a couple of months ago in July of 2009. He said, "We must be guided by the best healthcare tradition that respects and promotes the right to life from conception until natural death for all people, regardless of race, disability, nationality, religion, gender, and socioeconomic status." Everyone has a right to health care. So what's all the controversy about health care? Well, first, on one level, how health care is provided is a matter of debate. How and even if the government has a role in health care is up for debate. How the role of insurance companies fits into the healthcare plan is up for debate. All of these things can be debated among men of goodwill. That's at one level. But there is another level at which men of goodwill must agree upon, and that is this: that health care cannot in any way include the evil of abortion. Now, wait a minute, Father. I'm told that those in favor of health care in Washington keep saying that none of the health care bills mandate abortion. And I can tell you that is a clever lie. It's a very clever lie. You're right, none of the bills mandate abortion, but they don't specifically exclude it either. Hence, if the bill does not specifically exclude abortion, then it includes it. Now, if you think I'm playing with words, listen to this. A few virtuous senators and representatives tried to amend the bill so that it would expressly prohibit federal funding of abortion. In other words, the other side says, well, it doesn't mandate abortions. And the other side says, well, could you please put that in writing? Why don't we explicitly say that it shouldn't include abortions? And guess what? Those amendments were defeated every single solitary time. You see how evil that is? They don't want to include it explicitly because guess what? That's what they want. Because it doesn't expressly forbid abortions, the courts will mandate abortions for health care. Now, don't believe me? Why don't you go to factcheck.org, an independent source that says, and I quote, "The bill would allow abortions to be covered by a federal plan." Independent source. Or how about the National Right to Life Committee legislative director, Doug Johnson, who says, and I quote, "The bill would result in the greatest expansion of abortion since Roe v. Wade back in 1973. back in 1973. It would result in federally mandated coverage of abortion by nearly all health care plans. It would result in federally mandated recruitment of abortionists by nearly all health networks. It would result in the nullification of many state abortion laws and federal government funding of abortion on a massive scale. So says Doug Johnson. Doug Johnson, the executive director for the National Right to Life Committee. Or perhaps I could read you a letter written by Cardinal Regali, who is the Cardinal Archbishop of the Catholic Archdiocese of Philadelphia, who writes constantly to our members in Congress. And he writes, and I quote, "This is an illusion when you say that there are no mandated abortions in this healthcare plan. This is an illusion," he says. "This is a lie." He says, "Those constrained by economic necessity or other factors to purchase the public healthcare plan will be forced by the federal government to pay directly and specifically for abortion coverage. Government will force low-income Americans to subsidize abortions for others and abortion coverage for themselves, even if they find abortion to be morally aberrant. Most Americans do not want abortion in their health coverage, and most consider themselves pro-life, with a stronger majority among low-income Americans. About 80% of all hospitals do not provide abortions, and 85% of U.S. counties have no abortion provider. By what right would Congress make abortion coverage into a national-wide norm, or force Americans to subsidize it as a condition for participating in a public health care program? I urge you to ensure that any legislation that comes up for a vote does not include these unacceptable features." And so writes the Cardinal Archbishop of Philadelphia. Now, we could quote many, many other beautiful, beautiful bishops, Catholic bishops in the United States. They all say the same thing. It's clear. If the health care bill does not specifically exclude abortion, it really includes it. Now, in order for the bill to be acceptable, it needs two things. And one of our beautiful parishioners said last night, "Boy, you made it real simple, Father, by just saying two things." And it needs two things. It needs something like the Hyde Amendment, and it needs a conscience clause. First, it needs a Hyde Amendment. Back in 1976, Henry Hyde of Illinois put a bill up, which was passed by the U.S. Congress, saying that Health and Human Services would never appropriate funds to be expended for an abortion. It explicitly said no funds from Health and Human Services can be spent on abortion. It needs to be that explicit in the bill. Second, there needs to be a conscientious objector clause in the bill. If the bill passes without a conscientious objector clause, our good doctors and nurses might be mandated to kill people. They might be mandated by the government to abort babies. This would be immoral. So many of our good doctors and nurses would have to resign in good conscience. But we are in so desperate need of good Catholic doctors and nurses. So the health care bill must include a conscience clause allowing doctors and nurses not to abort babies because it goes against their conscience in the eternal law of Almighty God. I said at the beginning that we need to have a childlike attitude. And so maybe it's best, after all these words and all these quotes, which are important, to just put it in the language of a child. Health does not include killing. There it is. Any child can understand that. If you ask a child what health is, I can guarantee you No child will say, healthy living means killing. Healthy living means living well, not killing babies. If we're concerned about health care, what about the health of those beautiful, innocent child, beautiful, innocent children growing within the wombs of their mothers? Who will be concerned about their health and their living well? I encourage you, I urge you, like so many of our brave bishops have done, to write the president and to write both our senators and representatives in the U.S. Congress, and to urge them to include in any health care bill a Hyde Amendment that specifically prohibits federal funding of abortion, and two, a clause of conscience for doctors, nurses, and other health care professionals. A couple weeks ago, the bishops did that. October the 8th, the United States bishops wrote and said, no one should be required to pay for or participate in an abortion. How can you cooperate in somebody's evil? They say, it is essential that the legislation clearly apply to this new program the long-standing and widely supported federal restrictions on abortion funding and mandates and protection for rights of conscience. No current bill meets this test. If acceptable language in these areas cannot be found, we will oppose the health care bill vigorously. So writes the bishops of the United States. Let us hold fast to our confession of faith. Let us hold fast to our confession of faith in the dignity of every human life within the womb of his mother. On this World Mission Sunday, the United States is once again mission territory. The United States has forgotten, or even worse, willfully chooses to ignore the beautiful gospel of life that begins at the moment of conception. Are you willing to be a missionary on World Mission Sunday? Are you willing to be a missionary and to be sent forth in your part of the world to spread the gospel of life? On this World Mission Sunday, are you willing to suffer afflictions so that those beautiful, innocent children within the wombs of their mothers will be able to see the light of Christ in fullness of days?